Get the latest on the Giants and Jets on WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
It's so good loving somebody that somebody loves you back.
Tommy Lou Gehrig.
Positive Tommy. We all know Tommy Lou Gehrig is a generational talent.
Start dart. Noogie.
Yeah, Deuce dogs and Danny.
He likes to hang and bang.
I love Tommy.
No boogie.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Fuck. Noogie.
Good job by Lou Gehrig.
Say it, honey.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Yes, it is, and it is the final hour of After Hours here on The Fan. The number's 888-808-1019. Loogie in the late night. Got you for another hour. Al Cintron comes your way at that time. You've heard a lot from me. We're going to hear a lot from you over the next 55 minutes, I promise. But first, this Fan Focus is brought to you by Chef IQ Precision Cooking. Effortless results, chefiq.com. A name that you've heard a lot tonight, John Harbaugh, is reportedly expected to emerge as the favorite for the Giants head coaching job. Makes a ton of sense. I'd be stunned if every single team that has a vacancy right now, Harbaugh is not at the top of the list. There's even a report that there's a mystery team that already has a head coach that hasn't been let go, has reached out to John Harbaugh and his camp. And this obviously makes sense, of course, from the Giants' perspective, based on Harbaugh's run that he's had and how he developed a dual threat quarterback in Lamar Jackson, which is exactly what Jackson Dart is. And I share the excitement in terms of John Harbaugh being let go by the Ravens. He jumps right to the top of my list, neck and neck with Mike McCarthy. And if you're new to the show either tonight, over the last month and change, every time I've had an opportunity to talk, whether it was on Evan and Tiki, my previous employer there, or here on After Hours, or the Lugauer, formerly the show I was did, or Lugauer for Hours, or all the millions of shows that I named differently, Mike McCarthy brings everything to the table, in my opinion, that John Harbaugh does, as far as a resume. Now, you want to say that John Harbaugh fits the New York scene a little bit better, a little more of a hard hat, lunch pail, and Mike McCarthy maybe a better fit in terms of Tennessee or Atlanta, or maybe one of the other vacancies, maybe Cleveland, because I've heard that. There are some that think that Mike McCarthy has the stench of Dallas on him, and that's why people don't want to go near him, or they're not as excited about him because of the stench of being in the circus that is the Dallas Cowboys, and that kind of ruined Mike McCarthy's resume, even though he didn't have success in the playoffs in Dallas, but he did get to the playoffs three times. He got, 12 wins, three straight years. And I think that's something to hang your hat on. And he's been good developing young quarterbacks like Harbaugh did with Lamar Jackson, with McCarthy did with Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers. So I think they're both really strong candidates. I think the Giants should give, obviously, both really strong looks. To me, it's a two-horse race between the both of them. I want nothing to do with Kevin Stefanski. I think he's a Brian Daboll 2.0, a guy that had success early on, won a Coach of the Year, won a playoff game, and then has done nothing since. Two winning seasons in 6 years. He is a loser as far as a head coach in terms of his record. He's under 500. He's won one playoff game. Please explain to me why you would want to hire a coach who has a losing overall record into a team that desperately needs a coach that can win games. Desperately. The Giants have to get back to winning games. Have to. They have to build up their culture. They need a coach that can walk in tomorrow and win games. Whether it's Harbaugh, whether it's Mike McCarthy, if they're the head coach of the Giants next year, that is a 10-win football team based on the young nucleus that Joe Shane has assembled. 10 wins and a playoff team. I can't say the same for Kevin Stefanski.
Real quick, Tommy, just a little bit of news on John Harbaugh. This from Ian O'Connor of The Athletic.
Yeah, but the problem with that is when you say real quick, it's never quick. Whenever anybody
it's
says,
gonna be, it would have been real quick. You just cut me
well,
off.
Well, because the way you said it, real quick, and then we're sitting here 6 minutes later and you're still talking.
Ian O'Connor from The Athletic. John Harbaugh meeting with the Giants could be as early as this weekend. Scheduling challenges might push it to next week, but given that as many as 9 teams might now be involved,
okay,
the Giants are acting urgently on this. They know the stakes.
Okay.
So Ian O'Connor, The Athletic, 9 teams might be involved
now,
for Harbaugh.
Now, scheduling issues, I assume that's with John. Because if you're the Giants and
or
you can get
any team, frankly.
Yeah, or any team, you're going to want to get Harbaugh in here as soon as humanly possible because of the fear of if he gets in the building with one team, You know what I mean? Like, let's say Thursday he meets with the Titans and he walks out of there with the job and you're the Giants. You're like, well, we had a scheduling conflict. So I assume that's a Harbaugh thing, not so much a Giant thing. So, okay, based on Ian O'Connor's report, John Harbaugh could interview with the Giants as early as this weekend. 9 teams now are interested. So more than just one mystery team.
Yes.
So let's try to end all speculation on that. We know that I would be stunned if all 6 teams, now 7, there's 7 teams with vacancies, but obviously Baltimore's not going to interview the guy they just let go. So the 6 teams that have open jobs are all going to meet with John Harbaugh. How could they not? I mean, they that would be ridiculous not to. So that leaves 3 mystery teams. One of them, I believe, is the Green Bay Packers. Matt LaFleur has been reportedly on the hot seat now. If Green Bay, who had Super Bowl expectations, especially once they traded for Parsons, I know he got hurt, but still, Super Bowl expectations, Green Bay Packers, that's the type of franchise, Super Bowl or bust. If Green Bay loses Saturday night to Chicago, I think LaFleur would be gone. He would become a name that you would hear a lot, too, as far as, you know, for the Giants, etc. I think Green Bay is one of the mystery teams. I think, who else would I? Well, Vegas already has the vacancy, so they wouldn't be the mystery. I think Tampa Bay is a mystery team because they could be. Bowles has had he's done well there, but this last year was not good. And I know, Jet fans, you want it to be the Jets. I just think Woody Johnson, to me, this is where I think he is at with this. Obviously, I don't think there's a Jet fan out there right now. Even if you are in the camp of Aaron Glenn, I want to see another year. I don't know if he's going to be a bad head coach. He might be good. He might be great. He might be as awful as he looked this year. But let's go one more year. Let's get a quarterback. Let's draft one. Let's trade for one. Let's sign Malik Willis. Let me get a quarterback in here, not Justin Fields, who can't throw the ball. Let's get a real quarterback in here, young to develop, or a guy like Joe Burrow, who is young, but like, you know, it's hard to say Joe Burrow is a young quarterback. He's just a great quarterback that's already developed. And let's see what Glenn can do. Even if you're in that camp, Harbaugh's available. You want Glenn out and Harbaugh in. I think Woody Johnson sits there and goes, you know what? I made a decision a year ago to fire Aaron Rodgers, even though I had Aaron Glenn do my dirty work for me because I wanted Aaron Glenn to look like the hero and the former player that comes in and gets rid of the evil Aaron Rodgers. If a year later, I know it's a no-brainer, but it's Woody Johnson. So, and we talked about this. I know I've talked about it a lot. And James Dolan was just on our air yesterday, so if you missed it, you can go back wherever you get your podcasts. He joined Craig and he joined McMonagle on the Carton Show. For years, if not longer, we heard the Knicks will never, ever, ever win as long as James Dolan owns the team. Right? You heard that once, you've heard it 1,000 times. Well, they haven't won a championship, but the Knicks have now built a team that wins every year in the regular season and has made, you know, playoff runs over the last couple of years. And they have become a strong, successful franchise, especially when you compare them to the other teams in this town. Not the Yankees, notwithstanding. So everybody that said that Dolan, you know, they won't win if Dolan owns the team, well, they are winning, and Dolan owns the team. What happened? James Dolan hired the right guy, Leon Rose. Finally. With all the hirings that he did over the years that were bad, Isaiah Thomas, Phil Jackson, he finally brought in the right guy. Woody Johnson, if he hires the right guy, the Jets will turn things around. But Woody has to do that. So Woody Johnson, if you're sitting there right now and you're doing whatever Woody Johnson does on a, what night is this? My schedule's all out of whack. On a Tuesday night at 11 o'clock, you should be in the mindset of, wow, let me at least check in on John Harbaugh. Let me see if he's at least interested, because I get it. Like, if you fire Aaron Glenn with the hopes of hiring Harbaugh, and Harbaugh says, you know what, no thanks, I'm going to go to the Giants, then where are you at? Well, obviously you have a bunch of head coaches out there, including Mike McCarthy, including Kevin Stefanski, including Cliff Kingsbury, including all these coordinators that everybody is enamored with. So you could hire one of them. But I think it's at least fair to gauge if there's any interest. Are you interested in us? We have the number 2 overall pick. We have all these first round picks. We have all these second round picks. We are in a position, yes, we don't have the franchise quarterback. We don't have that yet, but we are in great position to acquire one, whether it's a trade, Burrow, signing Willis, drafting either Dante Moore, if he decides to come out at Oregon, Trinidad Chambliss, Ole Miss, something like that. Is that enough to steer John Harbaugh in that direction? Or does he say, you know what, the Giants already have a franchise quarterback. I'm going to go in that direction. Or, hey, Tennessee. They have a young quarterback franchise, Cam Ward. I'm going to go there. Or, and this is one that's like a lot of ways makes sense. Gee, I don't know. The Raiders have the number one overall pick. They're likely going to draft Fernando Mendoza, who won the Heisman, is having a crazy year with Indiana, on the verge of potentially winning a national championship. Tom Brady, obviously, with the Raiders. Does Harbaugh go there? Chance to play your brother twice a year in the division? I would say that's appealing. So, Harbaugh is on the top of the Giants list. I think the Giants are a very attractive job, which is why I say Joe Shane has done a good job, because they wouldn't be an attractive job if it was the team and the roster and everything was just in shambles. It's more about bad coaching and more than, like, I know I tell you this every single night, but I think it's bears repeating because I'm fighting this battle constantly, whether it's on Twitter or with my friends. Go through this season as a homework assignment. Go through each game with the Giants and tell me if they had a good head coach. If they had John, now that we have John Harbaugh, that's a good one. Now that we have John Harbaugh out there, and John Harbaugh was hired by the Giants this season. Let's say they got rid of Dable, alternate universe. Dable gone. Going into this year, Harbaugh was already gone. You hire Harbaugh. Let's go through the Giants' schedule. Al, I know you're coming up in 45 minutes. Cover your ears. Do the Giants beat the Commanders? This is assuming Jackson Dart obviously starting as well. So Dart starting, Harbaugh the coach. Giants beating Washington in week one? Yes. Are they beating the Cowboys in week two? Yes. Are they beating the Chiefs in week three? I'd say no. They already beat the Chargers, so that's a win. Are they beating the Saints? Yes. Eagles, they already beat. Broncos, definitely. Niners, yes. Bears, yes. Are they winning that Packer game? I would say yes. Lions? Are we going to get up to almost like 10 or 11 wins here? Then they obviously beat the Raiders and Cowboys. The entire season is different if you have a good head coach here. How many one-score games were there? How many games did they blow late in the fourth quarter? Because of, in my opinion, bad culture, bad coaching. That's across the board. Also the coordinators. Bowen, Kafka, the whole deal. All of them stink. So I understand that it's an attractive job, and I get why Harbaugh would be at the top of it for the Giants' sake. But let's not scoff at the other openings. Tennessee is a good job. Atlanta is a good job. Raiders, good job. I don't know how Harbaugh feels about Shedeur Sanders. I don't know if Shedeur Sanders is going to be the quarterback of the future. Reportedly, you know, the ownership loves him. I don't know. I don't know. I like Shedeur coming out of college. I would say not so great in his rookie year, but I can't put Cleveland ahead of these other teams. But still, they have a young quarterback. There is stiff competition here. And sometimes we get in that New York bubble where we're like, oh, yeah, I mean, John Harbaugh, of course he wants to come here. Why would he not? I mean, we're the Giants. Yeah, of course, we have Jackson Dart. Yeah, that makes sense. But let's not sleep on the other teams out there. David is in Far Rockaway. What's up, David?
Hey, Tommy, how's it going?
What's happening?
All right, so, you know, I love the new show. Oh, I just got one problem.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, David, I hear you. I will remove Rosenberg immediately. I will talk to upper management tomorrow. He's fired. He's out. I agree with you. He's dead weight.
No, yeah, that's. I meant two things. That's one.
Yeah,
that's one thing. The other thing that I got wrong.
Paul Rosenberg.
He stinks. Yeah. Go
ahead. The other thing I got wrong is, you know, after hours, you know, a time where a lot of us try to go to sleep, and, you know, I lay in bed, I put Tommy on in the ear. There's no way I'm falling asleep.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I'm glad that you brought that up, David, because I understand that, you know, I'm doing nights. I've been working nights. I'm doing nights. I'm doing overnights. And I have a certain style that is obviously, you know, like a little louder. I understand that, and maybe a little fast paced, but that's just my style. And if I keep you up at night, I mean, my bad. I want you to keep listening, but I don't really want to like change my style up just to kind of to cater to that because I want to put on a fun, entertaining, energetic. Not to say people don't, but I'm just saying that's kind of my mentality, you know, no matter what time I'm on the air.
No, 100%. I love that mentality. I love it. I just you know, I'm just saying, nothing wrong with it. I absolutely love it. I don't know if you remember by the American Dream when you guys did a live show. You know,
I do.
I mean, my brother came with Tyron Tracy with the gloves. You remember that?
I do, David. And it's good to talk to you again. Now, I don't know if I'm going to do any more American Dream shows, obviously, because I'm not working anymore. But if we do, and whether it's Craig or C-Mac or whoever, I'm sure they'll you say what's up them to them as well. But yeah, look, I mean, I appreciate that. And yes, Rosenberg, I will have him removed. I'll have him banned like he's Bart Simpson from the property tomorrow, starting effectively immediately tomorrow, because yes, he is, awful. I mean, just absolutely hideous at his job. I mean, just really a net negative. But what do you have with Harbaugh there?
Paul Rudd.
I got one thing with Harold, and I got three sentences about four sentences about the Knicks, and then I'll hang up, and I want to hear what you have to say. All right?
Okay, you got it.
All right. So the first question on Harold is: let's say the Packers go and get blown up by the Bears, and Matt LaFleur gets fired by the Packers. Would you rather the New York Giants to hire John Harbaugh as your next head coach, who has been choking year after year, and he won a Super Bowl 14 years ago? But I'm saying we're a little bit past the Super Bowl, and you know he's been given the best roster in football every single year, and can't do really. Yeah, he makes it to the playoffs, but I'm saying can't really do much with that. Or would you rather take Matt LaFleur? And then I got my four sentences about the Knicks. And, you know, this year, Knicks have dudes, Knicks have dogs. They're gonna do damage. Knicks in 26, baby.
David, I love it. And you're right. It is Knicks in 26. They have dudes. They have dogs. They're gonna do damage. They're in a little bit of a funk right now. And they're a little bit gassed. I don't know what's going on with Jalen Brunson. He looks tired. Josh Hart, the emotional leader of the team, the energy, whether it's rebounding, whether it's loose balls, diving into the second row, fast break, they have missed Josh Hart. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Josh Hart, you know, would have made up for the 30 points last night. But Josh Hart's presence on the floor and lack of right now because he's out is huge. And they miss him dearly. And they're tired. And I don't think it has anything to do with the NBA Cup or that run. I really don't. I think it's coincidental that they've been struggling. I think they're under 500, 5-6 since they've won the Cup. I'm not panicking. I'm not worrying at all. It's still Knicks in 26. Now, as far as what you just said there, I would be way more interested in Matt LaFleur than I would Kevin Stefanski. And the reason being is LaFleur walks in and I look at a guy that has won. Not a championship, but he's 650. He's 76-40 as a head coach. He's won three playoff games. So he has built a better resume than Stefanski's won games. I want to bring in a winner. Ideally, a guy that's got a little bit more, has been around the block a little bit more than LaFleur, and has won a championship. But I would absolutely be way more interested in LaFleur than I would Kevin Stefanski. Just because he had more success, and I want success. I want a guy that can walk in here tomorrow and get this team to 10 wins, because I think I have the roster in which to do that. I already laid it out to you. This year, if the Giants had good coaching, they would be in the playoffs. Let's go to John in Belmar. What's up, John?
For instance, hey, Tommy, how are you? Good luck to you.
Thank you. What's happening?
I'm a Giant fan. My 41-year-old son's a Giant fan, but I have a 29-year-old that loves the Ravens. So I've been down to all the Ravens games over the years.
Okay, so let's go through this. So you're a Giant fan. Your son is your oldest or one of your sons is a Giant fan. And then another one of your sons, did they go to school is in Baltimore area? Or like, why did they choose the Ravens?
Oh, he's up in Jersey. I think being 29, when he was growing up, the Ravens were good. They won a Super Bowl. And he enjoyed them.
But he went against the family. I mean, you don't do that, Fredo. I mean, you don't go against the family.
He did. He is going.
Well, I would say this, John. I think he made I don't advise that. How do I want to say this? Was he a Giant fan and then turned a Raven fan?
No, never was a Giant fan.
Okay, all right. Then at least he had a team and he stuck with it. So because I think if you think about it right now, if you're like a Jet fan and you decided one day to not be a Jet fan anymore, I'm not gonna get on you for that. I mean, that's really not that the Giants are in much better shape over the last decade, but you know, being a Jet fan is a poor life decision.
You know, I enjoyed going down to a few games. I'm divorced, so I always took him to games in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great area, John. I mean, that Inner Harbor down there, Fells Point, which is a good bar scene. the Inner Harbor, Baltimore is a lot of fun with the stadium, obviously Camden Yards, and where the Ravens play. It's a fun place. You know, the good food. I like it. I dig it. I've been down there a couple times.
Not a bad ride either. It's an easy ride.
Yeah, it's quick. Or you get on the train here, the Lamtrak. You're there in about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, good luck to you, Tom, and your new show.
I appreciate you, John. And shout out to John. Shout out to Belmar, of course. I mean, one of the great institutions. You know, I love DJs. Shout out to my guy, Fun Anthony. The East Bar, the West Bar. DJs, I mean, definitely the type of spot that you could sprinkle the Lugauer ashes in. I mean, it clicks all the boxes. It's one of the great partying establishments in the history of partying. Now, I haven't been everywhere, but where I've been, DJs is absolutely phenomenal as far as the music selection, as far as the scenery, as far as the overall vibe. You talk about a place that's all-time vibes. I mean, DJs is all-time vibes as far as when you go in there. Like I said, I've been a lot of places, and I partied a lot of places, whether it's clubs, whether it's bars, you name it. You can simply not match the vibes of DJs. I don't know. I really don't know what the secret is, other than the fact that it's I like-minded people and it's fun, and I don't know. But there's just something about the energy in DJs that is just nothing that I've ever seen at any other bar or club I've ever been to. I guess that's high praise, but I think that highly of the place. I think it's awesome, and the setting. You're down the shore. The beach. The girls. I mean, What more do you want? Like I said, that's a, you know, Lugauer ashes. You could sprinkle them there. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Look, we answer the major questions here, and Arnold has a very, very good one right now in Westchester. And what do you got for us, Arnold? Oh, come on. Is Arnold not there? We'll put him on hold because he's got a big-time question that we must answer before we get out of here at 12 o'clock. Let's go to Peter. Peter, are you calling from New Mexico? Is that right? I assume you're on the app here, the Odyssey app.
Yes, on Odyssey, Silver City, New Mexico, in the heart of the Gila National Forest.
Okay. The Lobos there, too, in New Mexico. Are you were you originally from New York, New Jersey, or are you just
I'm a Jersey guy. I've been gone since 2001.
Nice. Now, How has New Mexico been treating you? Because I would say that, if you like, there, I know a lot of people you move to Florida, you move to Arizona, you move to get out in New York. Like, we all know the hustle and bustle. And then you go to a place like New Mexico, where I assume life is a little bit slower, but probably in a good way. Like, how has that transition been?
Transition was smooth. The biggest transition I had, actually, two things. Number one, I had to slow down my talking, which you would definitely relate to. If you talk at the speed that you normally do, their heads spin out here.
Yeah.
The other thing?
Yeah, I could imagine. And the other thing would be probably pizza, I would think, or bagels.
Food.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great out here for food, as long as you like Mexican food.
Which I do.
They don't know pizza.
Yeah. Well, Peter, I love Mexican food. So my wife is really a big aficionado on that. She is originally from San Diego, which, of course, they are very much known, much like in New Mexico, for their Mexican food. And I am a well, first of all, I just love, not that all Mexican food is spicy, but I love spicy food and I love hot sauce. So it's not my favorite cuisine that's going to be Italian for me, but Mexican is right up there. I'm a massive fan of. So if anybody has any good recs out there, especially in Kew Gardens or Queens or even the city when I'm here working, please shoot that over to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. By the way, I'm just about a 1 month new listener. I gotta say, you have a nice, creative, and entertaining blend of both. It's entertaining, but you blend the sports world with the real world very nicely.
Yeah, I like to think and I appreciate it, Peter. I like to think because people always say this. This is one of the knocks about me online, Peter, is that, well, Tommy Lugauer, he doesn't have any sports knowledge. Nobody has sports knowledge, dummy. It's more just people study harder. That's all. What is sports knowledge? I'd love for the people that say that I don't have sports knowledge. Can you explain to me what, in fact, sports knowledge is? You watch a game, and I tell you what I think about it. So people that have knowledge, it's because they study, and they remember a fact from 40 years ago. Doesn't mean they have knowledge. It just means they have a ton of free time to study it, and they're more prepared. Now, I appreciate you. I love you. I'll get your tanking replacement here in 1 second. This is the way I conduct the show. You're right. It's the sports, but it's also the gaga. My goal as a sports talk radio host is that I want to appeal to the wider audience. So when you're in the car and you're in there, and I'm not saying maybe your wife's not a sports fan, whatever the case may be, she doesn't want you to turn on Christmas music or music because, you know what, that Loogie, I don't really love sports, but he's funny and he's entertaining. So that guy that's in the car for 6 hours, or that gal, maybe her boyfriend isn't a sports fan, they're going to continue listening to me. So I try to make the show appealing for everybody. It's not for everybody, but that's me, you know? So what do you have, my friend, on the tanking replacement, though, that we've been trying to find for, you know, the last couple weeks or so?
I got two of them for you. Yeah. But before I let you know them, you got a bright future there at FAN.
Well, I agree with
that. To give you my frame of reference, way back in 1980, there was a movie called Urban Cowboy. John Travolta, Deborah Winger went crazy. All of a sudden, New York City changed from Studio 54 and disco and gold chains over to country bars.
Yeah.
People were wearing denim.
Yep.
By 1987, the craze died off. I was working in a place called Gina's Italian Deli. We had a radio station called WHN on.
Yep.
WHN played country music.
Uh-huh.
I'm listening one afternoon. It's in the background of the deli. All of a sudden, a lady's voice comes on and say, "You're listening to Radio History, the first 24-hour sports radio talk in the United States."
Yep.
You know who that lady was?
I sure do. Susan Waldman.
Susan Waldman.
Yep.
Since then, I've heard the best of the best. You got a bright future.
Well, you know what, Peter? You made my absolute day there, my friend. We didn't get to the call me back because you're a gem. You're a peach. You talk about a guy that was salt of the earth there. We'll get the tanking replacement another time because we have a friendship now. You and I, Peter, we have a bond from New York to New Mexico. And you said a lot of things there that just tickled my heartstrings. You put me over a lot. You know your fan history. You know your radio history. I am so, like, this is what I definitely want. We got to figure this one out. We're not, and be honest. Don't call me up and pull my leg. If you or anyone you know has ever, ever stepped foot inside Studio 54 and partied at the famous club known as Studio 54. Way back in the day, there's a movie about it, there's documentaries. Please call me. Now, we got to do it in after hours. We got to do it a little later in the night because obviously there was, you know, you weren't going to church before you went to Studio 54. There's a lot of things going on there. But I know it was hard to get into, but I know if I was growing up in that era, I would have done everything in my power to try to get through those doors. Everything in my power. Like, it was the place, if you're younger and you don't know anything about it, it was like the place to be back in the day when disco was huge and all type of celebrities went there. So if you have ever been there or know anybody that's been there and can get them on the phone, please call me. Now, maybe we could do that more in February when it's slower, but I just would love to talk to somebody who has gotten inside the velvet rope at Studio 54. Like, I asked Beningo about it one day. He said he never went, because I know Joe was a big disco guy. He went out a lot, and I asked him, "You ever went to City?" "Nah, bro, I didn't go to Studio 54. I went to Studio 48 in Rumson, New Jersey." You know, so Joe never got to Studio 54. But I would love to hear from somebody that did. Now, I mentioned, we answer the hard-hitting questions here on WFAN, and everything's on the table. And we are here to settle debates and answer questions. And Arnold in Westchester has one that absolutely must be addressed. Go ahead, Arnold.
Positive Tommy. First off, I just want to say you're so right about what you're saying about sports knowledge versus sports memory.
Of course.
You're right about that.
People, yeah, Arnold, I think people, and this is not me taking a shot at anybody, but I think some of
Evan Roberts.
Well, some of them, no, because Evan's both, but some of the members of our audience, they think that sports knowledge is, you know, just because you can remember stuff, you have sports knowledge. It's called memorizing. So that's really not knowledge. It's called memorizing. That's a little different.
100%, and I totally agree with that. But let's get to the real things at hand. I mean, it's a later night radio.
Yeah.
We're both guys.
Of course.
Let's talk about the real things at hand right now.
Yep.
We got two beauties walking the earth right now.
Yep. Wow, and we got more than two, but you're going to talk about two.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. But I want to do a tale of the tape for you, okay?
Got it.
I want to pin Sydney Sweeney versus Tate McRae to you, okay? I got a tale of the tape for you right now.
All right. Now, are we going to take out the fact, at least reportedly, although I think they've kind of come out and made it, I don't know about official, but there is at least a feeling that Jack Hughes is dating Tate McRae. and Jack Hughes could whoop my ass. So
that has nothing to do with
so
it.
So we're taking,
Tommy,
we're taking
Tommy,
him
got
out
a wife,
of it.
I got a girl. Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, but we're talking about a hockey player. So, and I know, I think Sidney Sweeney's getting some rich.
Talk radio, Tommy. We're just talking.
We're just talking. We're taking out relationships. We're just talking. Tail of the tape.
We're taking out all logic. We're taking out relationships. We're taking out relationships. We're taking
world.
Out everything. We're
got
just
it.
Talking about facts.
Yep,
and facts. I want you to pick because you are the man of the hour right now. You got the nighttime ride, and you deserve this. And I want you to pick these out for me because I don't trust anybody on the fan more than you to pick them out.
No, I appreciate it, Arnold. I think it's a great question. And when I think about it in my brain, and I take out, like you said, we're not trying to, you know, I don't want Jack Hughes coming after me, or and I know Sidney Sweeney's got some kind of rich boyfriend, so he's probably not going to be much of an issue. But my loyalty is to Sidney. That doesn't mean, so I'm picking Sidney Sweeney. It doesn't mean that Tate McRae is not attractive, because she's very attractive. And she's certainly somebody that I would put up against Sidney Sweeney any day of the week. But Sidney Sweeney, for me right now, has entered that Mount Rushmore category. Like, somebody asked me this a couple of months ago. They asked for my, you know, top, I want to say like five or three all time for me. You know what I mean? And I had it. It's easy. It's right in the back of my head. It's very simple. Now, remember, I'm 40 years old. So my age has a lot to do with my picks. So number one is Pam Anderson. I mean, that's number one. These are all, you could say they're all tied for one. But the first one was Pam Anderson. For obvious reasons. I don't think I have to lay them out. Number two, Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I mean, just, and I don't care which Tiffany Amber Thiessen you give me. Whether it's Kelly Kapowski, whether it's Tiffany on 90210, whether it's a current present day Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I know she does a lot of cooking stuff on social media. Absolutely tremendous. Fastball, still there. Gorgeous. Lover. Everybody's childhood crush growing up back in the day. And number three now is Sidney Sweeney. Now, those are the top three. That doesn't mean there's not a lot in between. And Tate McRae, this is what I would say about Tate. Because I got to be fair. I think Sidney Sweeney has developed more of a resume here. Tate McRae is still in that situation where she's young, she's up and coming, she's doing the movies, the dance, the music, the whole thing. Get back to me in a couple years. Like, I'll give you a hot take. I'll give you a real strong hot take. If you were to ask everybody, you know, talent and also attractiveness, who their favorite and best member is of Destiny's Child, they would say what? They would say Beyonce. I would not. I would say Kelly Rowland. I think Kelly Rowland is so underrated in a lot of levels, and she is just a terrific singer. So, you know, sometimes I go up the stream, sometimes I go against the stream, but based on that question, I'm going with Sidney Sweeney. All right, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Loogie in the late night here, after hours, as you could tell if you've listened over the show over the last 5 hours, really anything and everything's on the table. But the big topic of conversation, of course, tonight is John Harbaugh, the Giants, their head coaching search. Before we run out of here, I want to give you a couple thoughts on some baseball stuff that I've been teasing, including Cody Bellinger and the Yankees, or the reports that they're far apart, and are the Mets in pursuit of Kyle Tucker. So that's all coming up next in the next 20 minutes. 11:44 here on The Fan. Loogie in the late night, after hours, Tommy Lugauer.
Loogie!
This is from, we'll get back to your calls here in just 1 second, because we're going to talk a little baseball here, and I do have some callers on the line that have been to Studio 54. And by the way, Al Cintron, who's coming up next in 15 minutes, I never heard this story, but apparently Summers begged Boomer to get him into Studio 54. I don't know if Boomer ever went to Studio 54, but obviously Boomer being a celebrity, and a New York celebrity, you're the quarterback of the Jets, you have access to that, because that's the kind of place it was, where the more famous you were, the more likelihood you were getting inside the velvet rope. So I don't know if he got Steve in there, and I wouldn't have even, Rosie, you would, next time you talk to Steve, get his version to get to me that I could give on the air, because we both know Steve, and Steve is, he doesn't strike me as a guy that would want to go out and do anything. Like, Steve is a guy that wants to drink coffee, rip heaters, and talk on the radio, and then watch sports. He doesn't strike me as a guy that wants to, you know, burn the midnight oil at Studio 54.
Ripping heaters, standing against the wall, the silk plaid, all black shirt.
Yeah, the chest hair. All right. I mean, Al was just telling me about that.
The mustache back in the day.
No doubt. So, I've never heard that, so we'll get Steve's version of that because Paulie does the podcast with Steve once a week. So he'll forget, but I'll try to remind him that we need to get Summer's version of that. All right, so this is Jim Duquette on Twitter a couple hours ago. A league source has told me that the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Blue Jays are the most aggressive suitors for Kyle Tucker. Nothing appears to be imminent, but there's some distance between the other teams reportedly interested and the main three. All these three teams make a ton of sense. Like, I thought the Blue Jays, that was kind of my feeling, my prediction all along, Tucker to the Blue Jays. Dodgers are interested in everybody, so they're going to be, and even if they're not, agents are going to link them so that it could drive the price up for other teams. The Mets is the one that's the most interesting. And I'll tie it into the Cody Bellinger, Jack Curry report from yesterday, where Jack Curry said there is clearly a gap between Cody Bellinger and the Yankees in contract discussions. All right. And I love, people get on Bobby Nightingale. Poor Bobby. I mean, Bobby's out there, you know, he's a great, he's a nice fella. But Bobby Nightingale gets a lot of flack. So this was a Nightingale report, I think, that Kyle Tucker might be zero, or it might happen where Kyle Tucker lands on a short-term deal, okay? So let's follow the bouncing ball. I think it's a 50-50 shot, or went into yesterday thinking 50-50 Yankees or Mets to sign Cody Bellinger. The fact that reportedly, and Jack Curry is always spot on with the Yankees, if they're far apart on an offer, that makes me think that Bellinger is looking for a long-term deal. Now, I think he makes a ton of sense for the Mets. His versatility, the defense, he's everything that David Stearns wants in a player. Athletic, great defensively. He could play multiple positions, center, obviously the corner, outfield positions. You know, if Soto wants the DH, Bellinger could play first base because right now the Mets don't have a first baseman. I don't care what they tell us. I know Stearns did it. I know Passan said it. I know Heyman said it. Jorge Polanco is the first baseman. Here's the problem. He doesn't play first base. So how is he the first baseman? He's played first base once. So I think Jorge Polanco is more likely going to be the DH, especially because Polanco's a guy that's gotten injured a bunch in his career. So one way to keep him healthy is by making him sit on his fanny half the game. So I think Polanco's going to be the DH, and he will spell Simeon at second base and Beatty at third. So he's kind of the Swiss Army knife DH and can play multiple positions, much like a Bellinger. If Bellinger is far apart on what he wants and what the Yankees are willing to offer, that makes me think long-term deal. And what we've seen so far from David Stearns, and maybe they break the mold for, we've seen it with Soto, they will, Yamamoto, they wanted to. Do they break the mold for Bellinger? Do they offer him? Because they'll offer money. This idea that the Mets are cheap and they don't want to spend money is BS. They do. They want to spend money. They just don't want to give a lot of years. So maybe the Mets, if they're unwilling to go for a lot of years, because if the Yankees are far apart with Bellinger, that leads me to believe that Cody wants a lot of years. If the Mets are unwilling to do that, when you see this report from Duquette that the Mets, along with the Dodgers and Blue Jays, are the most aggressive suitors for Kyle Tucker, that tells me perhaps that Kyle Tucker is thinking, you know what? I'll sign a short-term deal. I'll bet on myself. And then I'll get an even bigger, better contract down the line. So I'll sign a two-year deal, maybe even a two-year with an option with a team like the Mets. And then, I'll opt out after 2 years, and then I'll try my luck again in free agency. After what we all think might be a lockout in a couple years, that does make sense. Like, you want to see what the landscape of baseball is in a couple years. And obviously, Kyle Tucker would be a tremendous fit. I'm stunned that the Yankees aren't really that interested. It seems like there's no interest at all. Not even before Duquette's report. It's like, you don't hear those teams or the Yankees mentioned with him. So Kyle Tucker, obviously a big bat. You could put him in the middle of the order. Would make a heck of a lot of sense for the Mets. Let's go to John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
Tommy, about time we're talking baseball. I left with the Giants head coach there. You're only going to get a new coach in about two or three years anyways. You guys went through six of them in the last 9 years.
Yeah, well, John, that's why you want to hire the right guy so you don't have to do this all over again. This is why Harbaugh or McCarthy, you want to bring a guy in here that'll be around for a while so we don't have to, go through this cycle again.
Yeah, so anyways, to some baseball talk. Not sure if you saw The Athletic today. Tim Britton had a little article about Steve Cohen. And just confirms more that Steve Cohen doesn't care about the Mets, man. He only cared about Wisconsin.
John.
What the article says is this. Yeah. Ready?
Yeah, I've seen the article, John. Okay, go ahead.
Although Cohen has talked up his own personal Mets fandom, Several people who have known him for a long time recall him more of a general sports fan or as a Yankees fan. So all this little front he's been putting on all this time about being a diehard Mets fan and wanting a championship is all a gimmick. He's really a Yankees fan. He got his casino, and he said, screw those Mets. Screw Alonso. Screw Diaz. Screw Nimmo.
Yep.
Screw McNeil.
Yep.
Give me my damn casino. Turn my back to Citi Field. It's all about that casino, baby. That's all it was. And he's a Yankees fan.
All right, John. When I saw that report, I did see it, and I thought about you. You left out the part that Steve's wife, Alex Cohen, is seen to be more of the lifelong Met fan and Steve to be more of a casual fan. I don't know. I'm not saying that Tim is making this up, but I could understand where you would get the spin from a John, who we know really loves hating the Mets more than he loves liking the Yankees, which is his prerogative. There's certainly people the other direction that are like that. So all good. But I am not buying into any of this. Forget the fandom. I'm not buying into any of the fan, what I deem fiction, that Steve Cohen only bought the Mets so that he can build the casino. And I say that because, yes, this is Steve Cohen as Walt Disney. This is his Florida project, and he wants to build Disney World around Citi Field. So I do, yes, this is something that he's wanted to do. But let me remind that Steve Cohen is a billionaire. Billionaire on top of billions on top of billions. So the money that a casino would generate, honestly, is like a drop in the bucket when you compare to the amount of money he already has. So I think, he does want to build a casino. He's going to build it. It'll be up in about 5 years. But I don't think that's why he bought the Mets. I'm not really buying into this idea that he was a Yankee fan or would I honestly even care? If his wife's a Met fan, he's become a Met fan and he owns the Mets and he's going to run the team the way I want him to run the team and they're going to win a championship. I don't really care what the heck he rooted for as a child. How much time do I have here, Rosie? Because I got these Studio 54 people on the line. He's not paying attention. All right, Stephanie is in Indiana. What's going on, Steph?
Hey, generational talent.
How are you? Now, Stephanie, I reached about a while. Hopefully we have enough time here. If we don't, you call me back. But I said a couple of minutes ago, I really want to talk to somebody on the air that has been inside, the four walls inside the velvet rope of Studio 54, the famous nightclub here in New York City during the disco era. And you claim to have been inside the walls. Is that accurate?
Yeah, about half a dozen times.
Wow.
Never had a problem getting in.
Really? Now,
yeah, because I was a model, so
okay.
Yeah,
so
they just opened the rope.
All right, Stephanie, you got to call me back. You know what I just did there unintentionally, but brilliantly. That's a cliffhanger. That's what you call a cliffhanger. Like if this was a TV show, it's not. But if it was a TV show, I left the audience going, I want to hear about Stephanie, the model in Indiana, talk about Studio 54. I know I do. So Stephanie, please, if you're listening, call me back tomorrow or call me back the next time I'm on the air after that. Stephanie in Indiana, the model that was inside Studio 54 over a dozen times, coming up on After Hours either tomorrow or the day after that. We will definitely get in contact with her again. My thanks to Rosie.
Paul Rosenberg, the legend.
Al Cintron is coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The man. W.